Well, I do appreciate the opportunity to be with you all. I was a little shocked that it was 11 years since July 2009 that I was last in Kamloops itself. I don't know why it's been so long, but it's great to be with you this evening. And so I'm going to just share a little scripture that I've been enjoying this afternoon from John chapter 20, John's Gospel chapter 20. Just a short meditation, because I have been asked to share a little report before you have your time of prayer. Just two very well-known verses, verses 19 and 20 of John chapter 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. As I say, they are familiar words, but they struck me in a new light this afternoon as I was thinking about our situation. If I was to put a little heading over these two verses, it would be simply this: the difference he makes in reference to the Lord Jesus. The difference he makes. Let's just go through it phrase by phrase. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. The unexpected events. As far as the disciples were concerned, the death of the Lord Jesus, followed by the news of his body missing, the angels appearing, and the Lord personally meeting Mary. This would have all filtered back to this upper room. Unexpected events. One minute they're sorrowful, then they're hopeful. There's tragedy, then there's triumph. But they're not sure what to make it of it all. And I'm sure you would agree that 2 months ago, none of us would have thought we'd be having meetings in this fashion, in this way. Our world turned upside down. Unexpected events. Look at the uncertainty outside. When the doors were shut. When the doors were shut. I understand the word shut in the Greek signifies barred, locked. They didn't want anyone to come in. The fast-moving events of the past few days had engulfed them, leaving them bewildered and shocked, unsure. What would happen next? It all sounds a little familiar, doesn't it, to the circumstances that we find ourselves in this evening. The uncertainty outside. But look at the next phrase. Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. If there was uncertainty outside, there's uneasiness inside. Their Lord had been arrested and put to death. Would there be a knock at the door from those same Pharisees or soldiers? Would they be arrested? There's a fear of death. Was it safe to venture out even? I know that we all have to deal with these circumstances in different ways, and I don't know how your mind is coping, how you're feeling tonight, whether you're still uneasy, whether you feel unsettled, fearing the COVID-19, that's understandable. For them, their circumstances were dealing with so many unfamiliarities, things that they couldn't seem to control. And it was affecting their minds, affecting their hearts, giving them that sense of uneasiness. Now, the pivotal phrase in these two verses is the next one. Jesus came. I love that. Came Jesus, the risen Christ, the Lord of glory, and he stands in the midst. Here's the unequaled one. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst. This was the pivotal moment now, because he's going to make all the difference to the unexpected, to the uncertainty, and to the uneasiness. Just follow it with me here. He made all the difference. He came right to where they were, right into that room, even though the door was locked and barred. He came right into their space, right among them. He stood in the midst of them. He's right literally among these 10 disciples. He's right in the midst of their circumstances. He's standing there with them, right in the midst of it all. Their troubled hearts, their perplexed minds. Here's the matchless one, the unequaled one. Here is their God. As Thomas will later say a week later, my Lord and my God. This was the one that was standing now in his risen body, the all-glorious risen Lord himself. And it's just lovely in the next verse to see the difference that he makes to them. Look at what he says at the end of verse 19. Here's the unlimited resource. Peace be unto you. Now, would we have expected him to say that? He would have been within his rights, wouldn't he? Here stands Peter, who denied him. The others had forsaken him. He could have said, well, that's it. I'm not bothering with you anymore. You failed. Look at you. No, that's not what he says. That would be totally out of character, though it would be the right, it would have been within his rights to have said those things. No, his first words to them are words of peace, to still that troubled mind and heart and that those perplexed thoughts. If you just turn back to chapter 16, to the last verse of the chapter 16 and verse 33, almost the very last thing he said to them before he is taken from them, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And so here he is now, the other side of the cross, risen from the dead, and the Prince of Peace will say to them, peace be unto you. I'm sure you know those words well in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. We know it's linked with prayer in verse 6. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the one who brought them peace, the one who was able to stand with them in the midst of their circumstances, is the very same one who stands now with us, who's able to give us this unlimited resource. It's constant. It'll never run out. We can all enjoy those words of his peace. Peace be unto you. But linked with his words now, as we go into verse 20, and when he had so said those words, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The unquestionable sight. Here was the very basis of their peace. That little word so is linking it to the statement the Lord Jesus makes. The basis of their peace was that finished work upon the cross. And as we read in Revelation 5 verse 6, he's stood a lamb as it had been slain. He still tonight bears the marks of love, bears those marks of Calvary. He showed them. He was going to give them proof. I would suggest three things were proven to them. Proof of his person, who he is. This was no doubt the Lord. His hands, his side. Luke adds his feet, doesn't mention his side. That place of affection. John would note the side because he notes what the spear does to the side in chapter 19. But it proved who he is. It proved his passion, his love for them. If they had any doubt, he had gone all the way to Calvary for them. And it proved his power. There he is in his risen body before them, alive forevermore. And I don't know about you, even in these Zoom meetings. It's not quite the same, is it, as being together in the same room? But you know, whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in, I don't know if it's affected your employment or your business or whatever it might be, your health. But a fresh glimpse of Calvary will strengthen our faith. It certainly touched them. It certainly made a difference to them. Because we read that final phrase, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That's it, isn't it? They saw the Lord, the unspeakable joy of seeing the Lord. Their fears are all gone. Their hopes are fulfilled. Their hearts are satisfied. The Lord's standing there. And again in chapter 16, if you look at verse 22, the Lord had made good his promise to them. He says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So even in the midst of the toughest of times, with the sorrows of life, Satan can't take away that joy of knowing him. That joy is unspeakable. Peace comes through his perfect work. We have peace through the blood of his cross. But joy is the result of being occupied with himself. Peter will speak about that unspeakable joy, won't he, in his first letter, chapter 1 and verse 8. It's very applicable to us who've never seen him, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just observe as we wrap this little thought up here. Just observe how the Lord Jesus did not change their circumstances. They were still in fear of the Jews when he stood beside them. They were still behind the locked door when he was beside them. But he drew out their hearts unto himself. In other words, he raised them above their circumstances. He lifted their eyes away from themselves and the circumstances outside and their fears within, and he focused them on himself. I think that's got to be the great secret of joy, isn't it? Occupation and fellowship with our risen and glorified Lord. So though the events have been unexpected, there may be uncertainty outside and uneasiness within. The Lord hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday for them, today for us, and forever. We have an unlimited resource, his peace. We can ever think upon Calvary and rejoice in his love. And we can consider that unspeakable joy of fellowship with him. And if you just glance at verse 21, I just mention it because it just will lead us in nicely to the report. The next thing he says to them, after saying again, peace be unto you, he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And I would encourage you to have a little look at how the Father sent the Son, and then marvel and ponder that the Son has sent us to take the gospel to others. So we trust God might encourage our hearts from his word this evening. Now I'm just going to put up the little PowerPoint and we'll give a little report and then we'll have a time of prayer. Okay, now I'm just going to minimize the faces. All right. So what I'm going to do this evening is tell you a little bit about our visits and what's being done down in St. Lucia and Antigua, and then bring you up to date with a few things connected to the postal Bible school work. We made our first visit to St. Lucia in November 2015 at the invitation of Tim Gould, Tim and Julia Gould, Jack's oldest son. And some of you may be aware that his younger son, Philip Gould, and his wife Trina and their children are down in St. Lucia serving the Lord. So what we have on the first picture is a enlargement on the yellow crescent there of those islands inside the little white box. Now I got to make sure I can get the... there we go. It does work. Okay. So that's the two islands we're going to look at, St. Lucia and Antigua. Down there in the tropics, this island is a not very big, 170,000 population approximately. Last year celebrating 40 years of independence from Britain, part of the Commonwealth. We normally land down in the south at the international airport, but stay up in a place called Groseillers, usually renting an apartment and actually getting a car there from one of the brethren, helps his little business out by us hiring from him. There are four assemblies in Castries, the capital, but we will also show you an assembly down in the southern area known as Soufre. The assembly in Castries itself started in 1930, and I understand between 1980 2002, seven assemblies were planted. Our dear brother Jack Gould had a major part in that, and it's been a privilege to be able to help out in a little way down in this tropical island. When we're there, this would be our home assembly, as it were, the assembly in Cicerón. You can see Trina and the three children in front of her. Phil, her husband, is taking the photo. There are seven in the assembly at Cicerón. It's not a very big assembly, but we've had some happy times with them. On the last trip Elaine and I made in January, we had 2 weeks of gospel meetings, sharing with Phil and our brother John, who's behind Trina, and another brother that had come down from Manitoba. It was interesting during those gospel meetings. We didn't see large numbers, but we were grateful that almost every night there was an unsaved adult in. One lady was just walking home with her children, and she came in. We learned afterwards, as we were handing out some literature to a lady literally parked right outside the entrance to the hall, that she had broken down. And because they use a loudspeaker system, she had rolled the car down so she could see the preachers and listen more clearly as she was waiting for the garage to come to repair her car. So we're thankful to the Lord for each one that heard the gospel back in January. They just started breaking bread last Sunday wearing face masks. They had a little bit of a lockdown, but already opening up to be able to break bread again. We've also enjoyed happy fellowship at Laguerre. Laguerre, Cicerón, Forestair, and Castries Assembly, they're all fairly close to each other, within half an hour, 45 minutes. We've had children's meetings in Laguerre. Back in January last year, we had a week of ministry with them. And it was a joy on that occasion to speak with Phil at Tabitha's baptism. Her father is one of the elders. This is not her father. This is one of the other elders. You'll notice, although you can't see the right of the picture, there aren't any steps. They literally put a plastic chair in. You step on the chair, step into the baptistry. And the smile on her face was just a joy, because during recent meetings, during 2018 into early 2019, she would look very anxious, and it was just wonderful to find out on our arrival that she had been saved, and it was a joy to share in her baptism. Forestair have a apartment on the top, as do Soufre, where different ones have stayed as they've come to help them. And we were due to have a week's ministry last year in Cicerón, but there was a Seventh-day Adventist tent literally just kitty corner to the hall with very loud speakers, and as a result we couldn't hardly hear ourselves think. So the brethren decided to go across to Forestair with their kind offer of peace and quiet, and so we had a week of ministry on Nehemiah in fellowship with the saints at Forestair. Now, one of the great landmarks, the tourist sites of St. Lucia down on the south coast, are the pitons. That's two mountain peaks. This is the one that's closest to the sea. And the assemblies in the north are small, 11 at Forestier, about 17 in Laguerre. On the other hand, down in Souffre, they're about 25 to 30 in fellowship. We've had happy visits with them, usually coming for the weekend, staying on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because our flight out of the south is normally on a Thursday. And so we've enjoyed having fellowship with the believers there in Souffre. We also take the opportunity while we're in Souffre to visit six or seven schools. And that will be something I'll share a little later. Basically, our day is divided into three. If I go backwards, in the evenings, we're either having children's meetings, ministry meetings, gospel meetings, wherever we can help. If there are no series, then we will go to their Bible reading or just have a single ministry meeting. So that's in the evening. From about 10:30 on some days of the week till about 1:30, I will go to work with this dear brother, John Honor. John, as you saw in the assembly there in Cicerón, John was saved as a young man. He was on board one of the banana ships visiting the port of Cork in the Republic of Ireland when a gospel missioner shared the gospel with him. And John now is himself a port chaplain in Castries, and we would value prayer for John and for the work that he does in sharing the gospel with mariners from all around the world. The port itself is a deep water port that can take four or five of these huge cruise ships at a time. Normally, you'll probably see three in the port. And very often, John will only have permission to go on board one. John will have access to the area of the port because he is a port chaplain, but he needs the permission of the human resources manager to go on board the ships. Now, if they are favorable to Christianity, to the help of the spiritual needs of the crew, they will allow John on. The sad thing is, in the last couple of years, more and more are saying no. But on this occasion, when we were with John in January this year, it worked the other way. Sometimes John goes on two ships on the same day, and that means he has to split his time between them. And so on this occasion, having worked with John quite regularly on all the visits I've made to the island, John said to Elaine and I, well, why don't you go on this ship, the Azura, and I'll go on another ship. I'll bring you a bag of literature and I'll leave you. I'll see you on board, meet the HR manager, and then I'll leave you to go on to the other ship. And so we, like John, wear a black and white uniform, if you like, and we're very happy to share with John. Basically, he tries to get on around 10:30, 11:00. We get taken to the mess room, into the dining area for the crew. We have nothing to do with the passengers. It's about reaching out with the gospel to the crew. And this is a typical table, as you can see. Maybe you can spot there the Via magazine, literature from Bible Truth, IBH. Underneath the word literature is a special track that IBH produced that Tim Gould organized for John. Directed at the mariners. Elaine and I, we try to produce for John about 1,800 little mini joyful news calendars with his name and his email address to pass on to these crew members. IBH this year very generously designed two new texts for the Filipinos on the ship. And just this sample photo, you can see there are three nationalities represented here. And so do pray for all the literature that's been taken. Because of COVID-19, the port shut down pretty rapidly in March and the season was curtailed. Usually John might visit anything between 2 to 4 ships a week from the beginning of October until mid-May-ish. The summertime is hurricane season, and so there are very few ships coming down at that point. Occasionally, he has opportunity as well to have a service. I've never had that privilege with him, but we're thankful to the Lord for each opportunity. Now, this picture wasn't taken because of me. I happened to be like the focal point so that people didn't think that we were taking them. We particularly wanted to get the lady there that's looking at the literature. She had come in to get her lunch, saw the table, came straight over. She's from South Africa. She got her bowl of soup and promptly sat down and began reading some of the literature that she had picked up. And so we can pray for the families of these mariners as they take the literature home. They particularly like the IBH text because it makes for a colorful bit of scenery in their cabins. And as I say, a special prayer request would be for new openings. As John has seen one or two ships close to him, we're praying very much that when the season restarts in the fall, God willing, that he'll have some fresh openings and that the Lord will continue to bless his sowing of the seed. John's not an out-and-out person who, kind of like me, will try and invite people over. But what I find fascinating is John has a very warm character. And as soon as John and the individual begin to talk, 10 or 15 minutes fly by. He will just listen, and he's just got that kind of personality where they feel they can talk freely with him. And it's just a lovely, warm approach that John has. And do pray that the Lord will sustain John. It's not easy. Every time we're on the ships, he gets a free lunch. And sometimes it's fairly obvious that perhaps he hasn't had too much of late because he'll sometimes take a breakfast as well as a lunch. And they're very good to him. They allow him to take things home as well. So do pray for John and the work among the mariners of the cruise ships that visit St. Lucia. The beginning of our day, though, is usually taken up with visits to the schools. And in January, over the 4 weeks that I was there, 3 weeks, sorry, we were there, we visited 17 schools. We now visit, I think it's 20 altogether. But we were able on this trip to get into 17 schools. Now, it's a wonderful opportunity, just like when I used to live in Britain. We were just go for the 9 o'clock normally. They're very traditional. It's like the British school system maybe 30 years ago. And as you can see, it's the case in almost all the St. Lucia schools. They will have a school uniform. All the girls have to have their hair tied up in ribbons. And the children that are in the colours, it's their PE day, physical education. There's no place for them to change. So they come dressed, ready to play any game that the sportsmaster or mistress has. And that's why they're looking more colourful than the ones perhaps in the school uniform. We are able to get into Anglican schools. We go to a Roman Catholic primary school, not far from the Laguerre Assembly. There are just state schools that have opened up. We go to the three biggest primary schools on the island. We have been to a high school as well. And usually it's just 15, maximum, really 15, 20 minutes. We usually will tell them a little story and have a song and a word of prayer. And they usually have a speaker system most of the time because they don't have a school hall or a gym. It's held outside, sometimes under a tree. And because of the speaker system and because we can't have PowerPoint outside, we're rather restricted in visuals. And so it comes down to being able to hold their attention with a story, with the scriptures, with the truths of the gospel. So we are thankful to the Lord for each school that he's opened up. And on this visit, Elaine had a little exercise where she wanted to offer to the principals a text which they could put on their wall. Well, one principal, in fact, at this very same school, the Anglican infant school, she couldn't make up her mind with her secretary. She kept looking at these two. So he said, well, put them both up. And so if you're a parent or a student or a teacher, that is behind the principal's head. And it's lovely to see the word of God displayed in this way. This was a new school for us and the first Methodist school that we had got into. not far from the assembly in Forest Air, just down the road from the hall, and particularly took this picture with the hymn book being shown because of what we were singing that morning. I don't know any school assembly in Britain or in St. Lucia where I have sung "There is Power in the Blood of the Lamb." And they were singing it with all their gusto and enthusiasm, probably no more than about 90 children in this little village school. But we were just amazed, and we flicked through the hymn book, and there are a lot of good gospel hymns that we would sing, like that one. And it's very interesting how we got into this school. The lady that had allowed us to visit one of the large Castry primary schools had, because of poor health, decided to move to this village school. And when I had contacted her, I didn't know she had moved. And I said, well, could you ask your new principal if we could come in for an assembly? And right away, we were given permission, even though she was away that day. Such was her confidence in the new teacher. And also, this school has become one of 20 schools now using the PBS booklets. I'll come back to the PBS booklets in a moment, but we'll just first of all go across to the island of Antigua. This was a new opportunity for us, or for me rather. Elaine unfortunately wasn't with me on this trip in May last year. The first thing that strikes you when you come into Antigua is, unlike St. Lucia with its mountains, it's very much a flat island. And I was there at the invitation of a dear friend of John's, an elder in one of five assemblies in the capital. John is in the center of the picture. They're standing outside Ebenezer Gospel Hall. And this is their names of their five halls: Bethany, Bethel, Ebenezer, Faith, and Shiloh. This is Brother Samuel. That's his last name. I can't always pronounce his first name, so I've always known him as Brother Samuel. And so I was invited to have a week's ministry with them. And these five assemblies joined together for that occasion. And we also had opportunity to go to the schools. So this was on Sunday morning. Not all of these were in the fellowship of the assembly, but this was everyone bar one. One sister refused to come into the picture. And it was a joy to be with them, breaking bread that Sunday morning. And Brother Samuel was able to arrange three or four school assemblies, one a day. And this was the school that I think probably, out of all the schools I've visited now in the Caribbean, had the greatest enthusiasm. They seemed to be very well drilled, very well behaved. They took part in everything that we did together. And it was a joy when the principal afterwards, when we were showing her the PBS booklets, decided right on the spot that she would want her children to have these free booklets as well. And so it was a very happy week. Unfortunately, the weather wasn't the best. And we started with about 30 saints, got up into the mid-60s, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then on Friday, it looked very ominous that we might get a storm. And one of the brethren from one of the assemblies phoned to see if there would even be a meeting. And we said there would be. But unfortunately, it was kind of a drizzly, wet night. And the numbers went down again. Some have the idea that you can perhaps catch a cold from the rain. But it was a little disappointing that the numbers fell away. But we did have a lovely week together around the scriptures, and came off the island with three schools using the PBS booklets. So last fall, we shipped 6,200 of the Bible Time booklets. I should just explain what they are. Some of you are familiar because you help us. We greatly appreciate the work you do in marking a four-story paper, just four stories each month. Well, these booklets were designed in Britain for particularly Africa and India, where the postal system's not so great. And so there's 24 stories in each of these booklets. So there's six booklets covering the three-year syllabus. And I thought that these would be ideal to offer free of charge to the principals, because they do still teach the Bible, RE, religious education, on the islands in the Caribbean. And so we introduced these about 2 years ago, and That's the total that was shipped down last fall. So 20 schools in St. Lucia, 3 in Antigua. Now, during last year, this past visit in January to St. Lucia, there was a brother from Dominica helping John, and he took back with him 50 samples of the Bible Time booklets. Now, the idea was in April or May, he was going to visit the schools in his capital and see if there would be any interest, and he would look after the distribution for us. Then came COVID-19. I haven't spoken to Philip in the last couple of months, and we're not sure at this point whether he will have that opportunity. We're not sure if the schools will want more this term. And in speaking with the printers, there's even the fact that because they've been shut down in Britain and are still shut down after 8 weeks, they may not be in a position to print everything that will be needed for the different PBS works around the world. So everything is up in the air at the moment. But last October, John usually delivers to the northern schools, and then Philip goes down and picks up the dear couple beside him. That's brother, oh dear, as well I have it written down here. That's brother Chris and his wife Bertilia. Chris is an elder in the assembly at Soufre. His wife 2 years ago just retired from teaching. So she knew a lot of the principals and had friends in the different schools. And that's the way we were able to get into so many, I think it's 7 now, in the southern part of the island. So here they are visiting the school, and they were able to take this photograph of the children. This is one of the infant schools in Soufre. So do pray for our future contact. I plan next week to email the principals, or rather I'm just waiting for John to confirm when the schools reopen. Once the schools reopen, the plan is to email them, see how they're all doing, and just put them in the picture that at this point we don't know if we are able to order for September. The plan originally was to place the order in May. They get shipped over the summer. They arrive early September, and they get delivered 2 or 3 weeks into the new school year for them to use over the coming year. So do pray that the Lord will overrule in this. We're not quite sure what's going to happen next. Well, last July, Elaine and I celebrated 20 years of PBS work in Canada. We moved to Canada in August 2000. And that number that you see, 13,248 students, on that date in July, that was the number of students that had received a lesson that were in our database. Some of them may have only done one lesson. We know we've had a number who have got a 10-year award for continuing to do PBS over 10 years. So we're thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness. We're thankful for all our teachers. If anyone in the assembly at Kamloops is interested in helping as a teacher, or out of Arizona, you can contact John for our email address, and we'll gladly send you some information that you can consider. You can go to our website. I'll show you that website address in a moment, and you can see the lessons and see the materials for yourself. There it is, www.bibleandmore.com. I'm putting this little slide up because in January, we were going to go to a special event, which I'll talk about in a moment, but we needed to update and have a new website ready in time for, and it was pretty tight. We launched it, but there's still more work to be done. We got the basic pages that were needed, and I'm thankful to my son-in-law and to our main webmaster, Mike Badgley in Ottawa, who did a grand job of redesigning and whatever the website. And you can go on that website, and you can, if you're a Sunday school teacher or a Bible class leader, you can download the lessons and print them off yourself, use them as worksheets. You don't have to ask our permission. But we were getting the website and a new outreach leaflet ready for an event that took place the day after we came back from St. Lucia, the beginning of February. It was called Mission Fest Manitoba. Now, these kind of events are a little bit out of my comfort zone. This was the first one we've ever attended, but we felt it was time after 20 years that we perhaps approach other Christian organizations and made them aware of the material. It could be useful for those using ESL material. We particularly tried to aim at various camp works and other organizations that might work in prisons or whatever, making known the materials. During this weekend event, we met a Hutterite German school teacher. He came from a colony that we have visited often, where we are well known. And for the first time, we made it known to a Hutterite German school teacher that the lessons were available in German. Now, we have avoided that in the past, but feel that perhaps now is the time where if a school wished to use them as part of their own curriculum, it would bring the gospel before these children in their own language rather than waiting until they can speak English. He was very excited about that opportunity and is already regularly now downloading the German lessons and using them in his school. There are some 350 colonies across North America, in the US and Canada. And over the summer, it's our plan to write to these schools. We're going to start with all the colonies where we don't have existing students. We probably have about 120 children in our own PBS center. And often we would go and visit, as you can see here, and bring texts for the children. But this was actually one of the schools that we visited maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And so we plan to, first of all, contact the schools which don't have any of our students, and just slowly, one by one, see if we can get these lessons known. And hopefully many, many Hutterite families will be open to the gospel message and the truths of the gospel as they use the lessons in their German schools. This was the last Treasure Seekers event that I held before we were locked down. This was down in Rheinfeld. Jack Gould and I have had various tent outreaches in Winkler and in Rheinfeld. We've had children's meetings in the tent and in this community center. We hadn't had any for a couple of years, so we were very surprised on the first night to see some 60 children. We actually peaked at 81 and had about 110, I think, altogether over the week. And they're very well behaved. Many of these children are from a Mennonite background. There were two or three families from the assembly in Rosal that supported, but there was hardly any spare chairs or spare room. And what's been really encouraging is since the lockdown, two of the families that are seen in that last picture have joined us for our Zoom-in Treasure Seekers. We commenced this on Tuesday, March the 31st. We had 50 participants, 50 computers. And last night was our eighth week. And it was encouraging to see that we had 43 families. There's a couple of our older brethren in our assembly that love to join us. But probably 39, 40 families, mainly in Manitoba. We have a family or two in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and BC, and a couple of families from Ontario. But it's mainly for our own families in Manitoba. And it's been good to have a couple of families from Rheinfeld join us and from another work we were doing in Aarborg, north of Winnipeg. And the other week, we figured out from 40, I think we had 39 families that night, there were 96 children represented. So we're excited to have this opportunity each Tuesday. We do it down in our basement. I just stand to the right in front of the Treasure Seeker poster, in front of the same computer I'm using now. And we just have a full hour. We sing. We have been going through great Bible words as an object lesson. And we've had a quiz and a memory verse. And we went through the Easter story to the Ascension, Pentecost. We're just looking now at some early days in the life of Peter in the early days of the church. So we'd value your prayers for all those who join us on Tuesday evenings. We've also, in the lockdown, been able to get really caught up on the completion of the Spanish New Life Project. I don't speak Spanish, but for over 5 years, we've been struggling to do a translation and to complete this project. We thought we were about to finish. We're down to the last four units on the life of Paul, and we've had some real issues with the maps. And we'd value your prayers that we can get that sorted out. Already, we were introduced last week to a lady who, from the UK. It was a link with the UK. She lives in the USA. Her first language is Spanish. So she's the first person that we've sent a Spanish New Life to. We are going to make these available on the website for our missionary brethren down in South America. And we would value prayer that we can get these last four units finished. Another point for prayer concerns the border issues. Today or yesterday, they announced that the border would continue to be closed. So it's now 8 weeks since we've picked up our mail. As a result of the border closing, we were able to quickly send a note to all the US students saying that we wouldn't be sending them any more for the time being. But we have decided that at the beginning of June, we will just send them a lesson. We won't send back a return lesson because the cost is too much. But we're going to send each of the US students a lesson from Canada, just so that we don't lose touch with them. We don't want them to lose interest. We have to contact the border next week because our 3-month visa with them runs out. We're not sure how we are going to be allowed to get it back to them. Just pray if it's the Lord's will, he might allow us even to get across the border and pick up our mail. We may just have to wait another month. And finally, we value your prayers for the summer plants. This was a tent that was placed in Aarborg in 2016. We have two families who lived just half an hour south there in a little town called Toulon. We have booked a tent site. Jack Gould and I are due to have 2 weeks of tent meetings in July, but that's looking very unlikely at the moment. I also have a week of children's meetings in Manitoba and another week planned for London, Ontario. Again, that's looking very unlikely. We're in the Lord's hands, and we just would value your prayers that we might be given guidance. As I was saying to one or two at the beginning, our lives in our home haven't really changed. We're as busy as ever with PBS. We have the occasional opportunity, like we're delighting in tonight with yourselves and with the children's Zoom in Treasure Seekers. We have a full slate of activities. We're working on a new teacher's manual, and we would just value your prayers as to what the future holds. Now, all of these presentations finish with one of these, don't they? That's a sunset in St. Lucia. And we're truly grateful for your prayers and your fellowship.